Thank you, and thank you for having me today. I want to first acknowledge Kevin Dillon. Kevin was a graduate student with me for the last 3 years, and this is one of his projects in his research program. He couldn't be here today. He's now with DuPont Pioneer. Give you a little background on the Mid-Atlantic soybean production. What you see here is the number of hectares, actually it's the number of acres, is one couple of slides I did not convert. But the number of acres of wheat are shown in the left, number of acres of soybean are shown to the right. We have roughly about 1.4, 1.5 million hectares of soybean in the Mid-Atlantic states that you're seeing here. I've also listed the percent of the wheat that is double cropped to one crop or another, and I would say 90, 95% of that second crop is going to be soybean. Now this shows our wheat and soybean yields in 2013. Wheat yields were generally low from what we'd normally expect, and the soybean yields were a little higher than we normally expect due to a wet year. And I think you know what I mean by there is just too wet during the final maturation stages of wheat, but then that wet year really helped our soybean yields. Again, these are in bushels per acre, but these are the percentages of soybean as estimated by our specialist that are double crop. In other words, you can see the importance of this wheat double crop system and sometimes barley double crop soybean system, but it's generally a wheat soybean system. Yields, I mentioned our yields were above average on that last slide in 2013, but as you can see, this is the trend line yields for the U.S. This is trend line yields for Virginia. They are much lower. Two things you'll notice is the lower yield, but the other thing you'll notice is the extreme variability we have in Virginia. That's due to our droughty coastal plain and Piedmont soils. If we don't get a rain and a lot of it every year, we're going to have some low yields. The other question that I have to ask, though, is that difference that we see in the yields here due to our double cropping system? And keep in mind, our double crop soybean are planted in late June, early July, shorter season, so they don't yield nearly as well. I don't have the data here on this presentation, but if I look at some of my variety test data, I can show that that most of that difference is likely due to our lower yields with our double crop soybean production system. And of course, our barley comes off early June. We don't see much of a yield reduction if we can get our soybeans planted in early June. But basically, after about mid-June, we're losing about a half a bushel per day. So, and much of our double crop beans aren't planted until early July. So the real problem with our double crop production systems and what makes it profitable or not is that soybean yield component. Planting date, we have less time to grow and develop. I've already mentioned that. More specifically, and probably the most important factor, is our limited leaf area production on that. Shorter season leads to less than adequate leaf area. And also, we're pushing those critical stages of soybean production into a later time of the year. The days are shorter, so we just have generally less light. One other thing that we think may be hurting our yield, and this is what I'll talk about on this study, is early season nitrogen limitations. The reason for that is our small grain crop, once we produce a high yielding small grain crop, we remove a lot of nutrients and we remove a lot of nitrogen, and that nitrogen becomes tied up into straw, at least during the early portion of the year. Yes, that straw will quickly break down. Most of our production is under continuous no-till. We get a rapid changeover of residue on that. But we do feel like we're seeing some deficiencies early in the year with soybean production. That in itself may inhibit our growth. We need that growth for our yield. Therefore, our hypothesis for this research was that nitrogen applied at planting would increase early season growth and then therefore increase our soybean yield. The objective of this experiment was to apply what I'm going to refer to as starter nitrogen to those soybean. We're injecting that between the rows, and we're also looking at inoculant. In this case, we used Optimize brand inoculant, and we're looking at the vegetative response. I'll show you some nitrogen uptake data and, of course, yield quality. We also separated this out into the yield components. I'm not going to go through all of those, but I will mention those that contributed to our yield. As I mentioned earlier, this is part of a much larger experiment in which we tried to increase double crop yield. We even had a, we'd like to call it a kitchen sink study, if you will. We had a five-factor 32 treatment experiment. We looked at these factors that you see here. But at this stage, we decided this was either with or without inoculant, with or without a low application of nitrogen. But we decided to look at these two factors in more detail. So our experimental locations were basically northeastern Virginia, southeastern Virginia, and what we call our eastern shore, part of the Delmarva Peninsula. Had two locations each. We had experimented each locations for 2 years. Soybeans were planted no-till into wheat stubble immediately after small grain harvest. Plot size was 10 15-inch rows, 7.3 meters long. The left five rows we utilized for growth, nitrogen uptake, and yield measurements. Right five we used for yield component. Experimental design was randomized complete block in a split plot arrangement. Main plots were starter nitrogen. At the rates that you see here, 0, 16, 31, 47, and 63 kilograms per hectare. And our subplot was with or without optimized inoculant. We planted these plots with a small plot planter that made it easy for our inoculant. We put the inoculant on within 24 hours of planting, even though some of the labels say we can get by without doing that, but we didn't want to lose any of that inoculant. The other thing we did, we adapted our small plot planter with these cultures that injected the starter fertilizer. And it's right in the middle of the 15-inch rows. I guess ideally we would like to have gone by 5 by 5 centimeter band or something, but this is what we did, at least initially. We collected plant population, height. We used NDVI as a measure of leaf area. We have related that strongly to leaf area and general biomass, so this was an easy way to collect that. Total dry matter and then nitrogen uptake at V4. We did NDVI at R3 and R5 and total dry matter at R5, and then we collected yield and yield component information. We analyzed this with analysis of variance. We separated the means with Fisher's LSD. We also used orthogonal polynomial contrast to further evaluate the nitrogen rate response to those parameters. Our results, let me just say that, again, our yield was, to me, just extraordinary for double crop production. Some of the highest yields I've seen in most locations. We had excess growth. So I always said the best way to solve a problem is put a graduate student on it, then the problem will never occur during those 2 years they're working. It wasn't a normal double crop year. I think we had excess growth except in a couple of locations. There were location differences, but interesting enough, we had no location interactions with either the nitrogen or the inoculant. So that made data analysis much simpler. We could average over those locations, but I was actually surprised we got the same response in all six of our locations. I'll be right up front. We did not have a response to inoculant, and that's fairly normal. We don't always get a response to inoculant, maybe one out of 20 times in our part of the world. The inoculant did interact with nitrogen on a few factors. I'll go through those in more detail when I show you the nitrogen response, and that was uptake, pods, and total dry matter. Starter nitrogen, we did increase the growth. I'm going to show you that data very slightly, even though we had this what I call excess leaf area for our double crop systems. And yield did increase slightly at the low nitrogen rates. As an extension specialist, I almost wish that wouldn't have occurred. Then I could have just said, don't worry about nitrogen for our double crop systems. But we did see a slight increase, but it's very slight. probably not profitable. Here are our yield results. Let's start with that. Again, there was no interaction with nitrogen rate or location. Therefore, I've separated this by location. There were location differences, and you can see the type of yields we're getting. Just, I don't think I've ever yielded 5,000 kilograms on double crop systems. I have in full season, but not double crop systems. But what we saw is, if we fit regression through that, the yield slowly rises up to about 70, 75 kilograms per hectare. Around that 20 to 30 kilogram per hectare of nitrogen. And then it falls. And we had lower yields at the higher rates than we had at the earlier rates. So that was the type of response we got. As I said earlier, it's unbelievably to me that we got it in all locations in the same way. Now let's look at the uptake and what we fared on here. Let's go to this bottom graph first. This is the V4 stage, four true leaf stage. And as we expected, we saw the nitrogen content in the leaf rise with nitrogen rate. It's not too surprising. Okay, you can make out of this top graph what you want to. This was a R5 location. Yes, this was significant response, but quite honestly, I see very little differences in the total nitrogen uptake at this. So, you know, from the standpoint of research, I guess we got a significant response, but I don't put a lot of weight in it. Now here's our NDVI, and this is where we thought we would see more of a response, but again, high leaf area environment, so we didn't see much of a response. This graph shows NDVI, of course, the maximum of that would be 1.0, and I won't go into detail what NDVI is. I'm assuming everyone knows what that measurement is, but again, it's a good reflection of leaf area or total dry matter. At V4 stage, there was no significant difference, even though numerically nitrogen had a higher NDVI. And the data is really tight up here, therefore, but it's very high levels. You know, this is complete canopy cover, in my opinion, by R3 or R5, there were significant differences between the two points, so it's slightly. Dry matter. All right, no inoculant versus inoculant. This is where we saw an interaction. We may have some outlying data points with the inoculant, as you see here, but basically the starter N increased total dry matter linearly when we did have no inoculant. When we had an inoculant, the response was very good. We increased total dry matter, and this was, again, at the R5 stage. But then it decreased with higher rates of nitrogen later in this, with higher rates of nitrogen. Let's go back to this yield data again. Now, I talked about the nitrogen uptake and biomass increases, but what components of our yield caused what we're seeing here? And that's why we're trying to nail down on this. So let's look at some of the yield components. And again, I'm not going to show all of our results. I'll just show you the ones that had a significant response. This is number of seed per square meter. Of course, that's a reflection of yield. It's nothing that we thought was very different, but basically, you know, you could fit various responses to this, but basically it's a linear plateau. There's no differences in, no significant differences in these rates of nitrogen, but all of them caused more seed per square meter than nitrogen. Here's another interaction we had. This is the number of pods per square meter. Again, we could argue maybe there's some outlying data points, but with no inoculant, it's a linear response. With inoculant, we saw the number of pods increase up to this, you know, about a 30 kilogram per hectare rate and then decline afterwards. Quite honestly, if we put all that together, we're probably looking at another linear plateau there. Seed size. That was the other response that was fairly straightforward, and that was a linear response averaged over the inoculant treatment. So we definitely saw seed size increase with our nitrogen rate. So in conclusion, inoculant had little effect on soybean growth and yield. The soybean yield did increase with starter nitrogen up to around 25 kilograms and then decrease. And you can see that it actually, the decrease was more dramatic than the increase. Now, I will say something about it, though. Even though we're fitting regression to this, that lowest rate we used, that 16-kilogram rate, was always, almost always, the highest yielding plot we had. So maybe we didn't focus too enough on that low end of the rate. So there seems to be something here, but of course at today's prices, I don't think we can go out and recommend nitrogen for soybean. Okay, starter nitrogen, slightly increased yield, and growth is measured by NDVI and total dry matter, and then yield increase due to number of seeds, pods, and seed size. Maybe we should look at lower leaf area areas. And I want to thank both the United Soybean Board and the Virginia Soybean Board for sponsoring this research. So.